You know, it is a personal thing. We've talked about that before. God's love for you is a personal thing. He takes it personally. We oftentimes think of God as being some ethereal God way off there, not really aware of what's taking place. In fact, if you go back to the time of the founding fathers, just in the colonial era, a lot of the belief system was. In fact, many people in that time frame did kind of believe with the Enlightenment that they believed in God. But they believed in God that was had set everything in motion, had created everything, that the Word was true, it set everything in motion. But then he just kind of stood back and kind of watched and let things take their course. He was, if you will, kind of a disinterested God. That's not the way God is at all. God is very interested. He takes a personal interest in everything that takes place in your life. Listen, if God knows the number of hairs on your head right now at this moment, that is a God that takes care of the details. He is devotedly interested in you and in your life. And if he knows how many hairs are on your head, and that's a very fluid number. I mean, it's a number that every day, every single person loses on average 150 hairs off their head. That means other ones are coming up, but you're losing 150. Man, that number is very fluid. And God knows the exact amount at any one time. Listen, if he knows the exact amount of hair on your head, if he cares that greatly about you and the details of your life, then he is concerned about all those other things that you're concerned about. He is concerned about those things that you're thinking to yourself, man, God, are you watching? God, do you see this? Do you care? Aren't you concerned about this at all? We oftentimes get the same attitude of the disciples when they were in the boat with Jesus and the storm came up. And Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping, and they're bailing water. They're frantically trying to do all that they can. They're fearful for their lives, and they finally, in that fear, wake up Jesus and essentially say, in a paraphrase, Jesus, don't you care? I mean, we're about to die here. Don't you care? And of course, Jesus calmed the storm. He did care. And he cares about us as well. So those times when you say, Jesus, don't you care? He is watching. He does care. He's made provision. It's all very personal with God. It's so personal that this is what God desires. I mean, you think about it. Go back to the very beginning in Genesis. What did God desire with us? He desired that time to walk with us. He created mankind. He created Adam for fellowship. I mean, you and I are all a result of God's desire just to fellowship with us. God took great desires with Adam in walking in the cool of the evening and fellowshipping with his creation. It's what he desired then. It's the same thing that he desires now. It's just to be with you and I. Now, think about it for a moment and think about what your prayer life is oftentimes like. You know, there's a story in the book of Luke, and I wasn't going to go here, but we'll just deviate for a moment. In Luke, the 12th chapter, there's a story. It says in verse number 13 through 15, then one of the crowd, this is, you know, titled The Parable of the Rich Fool, then one of the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. And then he goes on for a number of verses to talk along those kinds of lines of things. And really what you see with this rich young fool is you see someone that's coming to Jesus Christ, and he's making a demand. I mean, he has whatever his needs are in his life, which, I mean, starts with salvation, because that's going to be his most important need. But from that on down to the smallest things in his life, the answer to everything that he has need of is right there. God himself, the creator of the world, is standing right there in front of him in human form. And what does he care about? He's asking God to make his brother do something that he thinks his brother did wrong. I mean, you have the one that has all the answers for everything, and this is what you want to bring to God? I mean, you look at it in that light, it's just foolish. You can see why it's called the rich fool. It's foolish that he's asking that. Of all things, that's what he's asking. But he didn't realize, and that's why Jesus said to him, Who made me arbiter over you? I mean, Jesus is saying, you don't understand why I'm here. I mean, you really don't get what's taking place here. You should be valuing the greater things and not the lesser things. You are obsessing on the lesser things when you should be focusing on the greater things. The greater thing is what? Well, as you go through the book of Luke, as you go through the 12th chapter, you're going to find later, there's a verse that's parallel to that very familiar verse we all know from Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, which says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. So what Jesus is saying to the rich young fool, what he's saying to you and I is, you know, Why are you coming to me with this? You're seeking, you're obsessing on the less when you should be focusing on the greater thing. If you focused on the greater thing, all the lesser things would be taken care of. What's the greater thing? The greater thing is that relationship with Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then these things shall be added unto you. If you focus on God, if my focus is on Jesus Christ, if I'm looking to Him, not to the circumstances, not to my concerns or my worries, but just looking to Him, that's the greater thing. It is what God wants from you and I. He desires that time with you and I. And if we focus on that greater thing, then all those lesser things, well, they're a byproduct of that right relationship. They're a byproduct of having that right vision, having our eyes on the right thing. So for that rich young fool, he came up and he was basically looking at Jesus for the wrong things. He can have all that he needs is right there before him. And he's asking for this petty little thing. How petty was it? I mean, it was essentially so petty that realistically, he probably didn't have a right to what he was asking. He was asking for Jesus to give him part of the inheritance, or to tell his brother to do the right thing in this young person's mind, to do the right thing and give him part of the inheritance. Hey, listen, if you're looking at the rules of the Jewish customs of the time, hey, firstborn has that double portion blessing. You know, in many cases, the firstborn has everything. Truly, if he was just in his claim with his brother, then the Jewish law would have been on his side. He's coming to Jesus not because he's been wronged. He's coming to Jesus because he is coveting something that is not his. He wants something. He's focused on the less. He's focused on the small things, on the petty things. He's obsessing on the wrong things and missing the whole purpose of Jesus being there. Wow. How many times is that you and I? Where we're going to God and we're focused on the wrong things. We're focused on the small things. We're focused on the lesser things. We're focused on the things that are the byproduct of the greater thing. If we would not obsess on those small things, but instead just focus on Him. In other words, when I come to Jesus in my prayer time, if all I'm doing is just saying, God, this is what's not fair. This is what's not right. This is what you haven't done. This is what's not taking place. Don't you care? We put ourselves in the same place as this rich young fool. If instead we would just come and spend the time with Him, just the quiet time. And that's where the verse I wanted to look at is talking about the quiet time. And we'll try to get to that. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31 addresses this. But if we would have that quiet time with God and just revel in being with Him. You know, there's certain people in your life that you just look forward to being with. When you're anxious to have time with them, and if you know you're going to see them for lunch, or if you know they're coming over to your house, or you know you're going to spend some time with them, you look forward to it. It's something that is a highlight for you. This is the way that it should be with God, and that's what God was saying to this rich young fool. Here I am. I have come here for you. I have made these sacrifices, and I'm going to make greater sacrifices. I've come here for you, and this is what you want to focus on? Coveting something that does not belong to you? And trying to make me the judge in what is clearly you have no rights to? Do you not understand? And clearly he didn't. And too often we don't understand either. And we go to Jesus, we go to our Father with those same kind of complaints and those same kinds of, well, just obsessing on the smaller things rather than focusing on the greater thing, which is that time with Him, that walk with Him, that being with Him, that presence with our Lord and Savior. So how about you in your life? I mean, let's just think about our prayer time. What is it that we're praying about? What is it that we're seeking God for? He just wants to be with us. If you and I can spend time in Him and just have that quiet time and just listen to Him. Oh yeah, you can talk. You can tell Him all the things. But it also requires that quiet time. That's one of the things that we do not do well in this country. We have not been taught to be quiet. We are taught to express ourselves, but we're not taught to be quiet and to listen. Just right now, just think about who's the first person that comes to your mind. Just think about someone in your, I don't care who it is. Just think about one person. It can be a spouse, it can be a coworker. Just the first person that comes to your mind. Let me ask you this. When you're conversing with them, Do you ever get frustrated with them because they really don't listen? They're talking, but they're not really listening. Do you ever feel frustrated with that person? Okay, now think of another person. Now think of your recent conversations with them. Have you ever felt frustrated with them that you're thinking, yeah, but I want to get this point in. Yeah, I want to say this. But the other person is just talking and talking and not really listening. You know, that's just a habit. You know, my wife and I have talked about this a lot. My wife sometimes, if she's coming into a situation where there's people that she may not know really well, you know, she might just be uncomfortable trying to strike up conversations. And I've said to her, ask one question. You know, with most people, if you ask them one question, they will go off. So you don't have to worry about carrying a conversation. And I said to her, hey, don't worry about, because she sometimes has said, well, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I mean, I'm anxious. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I have nothing in common with this person. What am I going to say? And I've said, just ask one question. Just find one question. Ask them one question, and boom. Most people will just continue talking and talking and talking. Because we are trained to talk. We're trained to express ourselves. We have never been trained to be diligent in the art of listening. And that's a huge, huge loss for most of us, because then we don't know how to listen for God. We don't know how to be disciplined in listening to God. Think about your own conversations. Are you disciplined to listen? Or be honest with yourself. When you're in a conversation, are you more concerned with expressing the thoughts and the ideas and the feelings and the emotions that you have? Is that your paramount concern as opposed to listening? Do you oftentimes stop and just listen and not say something? How many times have you done this? How many times have you wanted to say something in a conversation, but you checked yourself and didn't say it on purpose? Just because you wanted to see if you were disciplined, see if you could hold back. Most of us never even do that. We feel like if we've got something to say, we've got the right to say it. And so we shall say it. And as such, we're great speakers. We're great at expressing our thoughts. But we never grow. We never learn. We never really experience anything else other than our own thoughts, because we're not listening to the other person. And if we can't do that in our lives, I'll tell you what, we've not been trained to do it in life. And so we really struggle with the ability. And we talked a couple weeks ago about hearing from God. And most of that comes from just a straight discipline. I mean, the beginning aspects of it come from the discipline, being able to discipline yourself to stop, shh, and have some quiet time with God. Not really. When was the last time you spent even 5 minutes just quietly with God? Not asking? You can be conversing, but not asking for stuff. Just talking about things and listening, stopping and quietly listening. When was the last time you had 5 minutes where you didn't say anything to God? You just listened for Him. You were seeking Him. So Jeremiah 29 tells us we should be doing. Jeremiah 29:13 tells us that it's when, if we're looking for Him, we will find Him when we seek Him with our whole hearts. If you want to hear from God, you've got to be seeking Him. You've got to be looking towards Him. So with God, it's a very personal thing. And He is wanting to talk to you. He's wanting to express things to you. He's wanting to give you guidance. He's wanting to give you direction. He's wanting to give you insights into the depth of His love for you. But we're not disciplined enough to even listen. We're not trained in that communication. With God, it's a personal thing, and He wants it to be personal with you and I. All right, let me just look at this verse really quick. We're not going to have time to go into it, but we'll look at this more tomorrow. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord." Right there. How many of us actually stop and wait for Him? "For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint." It all starts. How many of you would like to have your strength renewed? I mean, how many of you feel like today you just feel weak? Like maybe looking back to the last month, couple months of your life, you just feel drained, you feel spent, you feel wrung out, and you just feel weary. Bone weary, emotional weary, mind weary, work weary, home weary. You're just weary, you're wore out. How many do you like to have your strength renewed? To feel invigorated, to feel strong and productive, to feel like you have that boldness that you can go forward again. When was the last time you felt that way? Mounting up with wings like eagles. How many of you guys feel like you soar through life? Like, you fly above all the problems, all the hassles, all the concerns. You always find a way to rise up and fly above. How many? Yeah, there's probably not a lot of imaginary hands going up. They shall run and not be weary. Boy, how many of you feel like you've got things that you just know that God has called you to get done, things in your life that you know you need to get done, that you just don't have the strength to run? It's been a long time since you ran. And you're having a hard time even jogging spiritually and emotionally. They shall walk and not faint. Boy, how many of us would like to have those things in our lives? Well, it all starts with that very first line. But those who wait on the Lord. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're going to look at that more tomorrow. But if that speaks to you, you know what? Just look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31. Look at it today. Meditate on it. Think about it. We'll look at it in detail tomorrow. But wait on the Lord. Read that verse and wait on the Lord and see what he tells you today. And then we'll talk about it again tomorrow as well.